signs of energy in hiring. I'm David Brancaccio. It was a lot of hiring back to restaurants after the December-January lockdowns. There is news today that 379,000 more people were on the payroll in February, indicating a stronger-than-expected job market. Remember, this is February, the month of the big freeze. Let's consult, as we do many a Friday, with Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FHN Financial. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So pretty strong, right?
Oh, yeah. It's not just that we added almost 400,000 jobs. It's that we managed to add that many jobs despite the great freeze, which caused construction employment to fall. Manufacturing employment gains were probably smaller than they would have been. In fact, even state and local government employment was down because teachers couldn't come into work in parts of the South.
All right. So unexpected strength in the job market can fuel concerns about inflation. The bond market's been pretty crazy this week now, and not just last week. The 10-year Treasury yield, a benchmark, was for a moment this morning above 1.6%.
That's right. Not just because of strong employment, but also because Jay Powell made an appearance at a Wall Street Journal event yesterday. And traders really, really wanted him to say that the Fed would stop the rise in yields. He didn't. Instead, what he said was the Fed would stop a disorderly rise in yields. I think in the bond market, people are worried about inflation. And they were counting on the Fed to counter that worry by stepping in, buying more bonds, and pushing interest rates down. Powell doesn't seem all that interested in doing that just yet.
Well, you can't always get what you want, bond people. Christopher Lowe at FHN Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
In early trading, the Dow is up 93 points, 0.3%. The S&P is up 0.1%. The NASDAQ in the last few seconds just flipped from positive to negative. It lost about 8% over the last month. It's down 0.3% at the moment. Back to that benchmark interest rate, the 10-year yield is right at 1.6%, much higher than a week ago. These higher rates push up the cost of mortgages and other loans. Marketplace's Amy Scott looks at how that might affect our spending.
This week, Freddie Mac said the average interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage climbed above 3% for the first time since July. Economist Scott Hoyt with Moody's Analytics says rising rates could dampen demand for housing a little and refinancing a little more.
Although they're still remarkably low by historic standards, so we need to keep that in perspective.
Other kinds of consumer spending are less likely to be affected. The interest on auto loans and credit cards is pegged to shorter-term rates, which haven't been rising as much. And Gad Levinon, who leads the Labor Market Institute at the Conference Board, says consumers aren't as sensitive to changes in those rates.
Outside of housing, I think the impact of the increase in interest rates on consumption will be very limited and almost insignificant compared to the other developments.
Developments like the reopening of the economy as more people get vaccinated and the nearly $2 trillion COVID-19 relief bill Congress is hammering out.
And that combined with the very strong savings that consumers accumulated in the past year.
Many consumers, anyway.
It's a perfect recipe for a boom in consumer spending. They have stuff to spend on. They have the money and the willingness to spend on it.
It's anyone's guess whether interest rates on mortgages and other loans will continue to rise. The Fed has been helping keep long-term rates low by purchasing treasuries and mortgage-backed bonds. And Sarah Foster with Bankrate says that's not likely to change anytime soon.
Chair Powell so far has really not indicated at all that he's concerned. In fact, he really sees this pickup in yields more as a statement of confidence in the economy.
And if rising interest rates do become a concern, she says, the Fed still has tools to step in. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
We've been following the story of sky-high electricity bills in Texas in the aftermath of the cold snap there. Now there's word that $16 billion worth of those bills may be overcharges. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here.
Yeah, David, this analysis is coming from an independent monitor that works for the state's Public Utility Commission. And what that monitor found is this. Last month, there was a forced price increase for electricity in Texas during the height of the storm and the power outages. Officials raised the peak price for wholesale electricity to about 450 times what it was before the storm. Now, that was done to encourage more power generation to come online. It didn't work. The increase was only supposed to last while there were power shortages. Well, those shortages ended. But elevated prices continued. Officials didn't let them go back down for about 30 more hours. And that discrepancy of 30 hours is where the overcharge of $16 billion comes from.
If it's an overcharge, will it be corrected?
Possibly. The state's Public Utility Commission ordered the price increase so it can reverse the overcharge. There are calls for it to do so as the bills come due. And the commission is expected to take up the issue at a meeting today. Now, that price increase, though, lasted about 90 hours. So reversing 30 hours worth of higher prices doesn't end the financial strain in Texas. Estimates are that the storm-related costs for power companies and utilities there total about $47 billion, David. So they still have to figure out how to pay for the rest of it.
All right, that's Marketplace's Nova Safo. Thank you. And Yahoo Finance caught this. Bank of America Global Research has noticed that among older B of A cardholders, the ones most likely to have gotten their COVID vaccinations, there has now been a surge in spending on airline tickets. Grandkids, here we come. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.